Welcome to the Uncommon Career Podcast, helping you to find God's calling for your career and to land a fulfilling, well-paid, and impactful position. Join me each week for practical guidance, career motivation, and biblical insight based on Christian values. Hey, did you know that the Uncommon Career has a career academy that is launching in January? So in less than 1 week, there's going to be a career academy where believers are going to come together in prayer, and not only in prayer, but also in strategy and in execution to make sure that you get the job that you are called to in no time. So if you want to be ready for your career change to get into God's will, you want to seek God through your process, and you want expert coaching along the way, then head over to theuncommoncareer.com/TUC-Academy. The link is in the description, and that way you'll be able to get in at an unbelievable founder's price and experience the founder's advantage. So again, head over to the description. You'll see the link for the Uncommon Career Academy, and I'll see you there. Okay, friends. So welcome back. Today, I'm interviewing Paul, who is an amazing man of God, always, you know, looking to ways to serve God while he's at work and in the career decisions that he makes as well. So in the first half of today's episode, for the first 38 minutes, he's going to share with us how he's gone and made decisions throughout his career and how God helped to guide him even when he wasn't really seeking God for those decisions, but how everything came full circle once he did start seeking God and how he got to the position that he's at now. Now, I'm not going to steal his thunder. I'm going to let him share with you his journey through interest in medical school, getting into chemical engineering, and then landing in tech, specifically within the programming side. So check out the first half, which is his God story, his career God story. And then at the 38 minute mark, we're going to hop into all the career questions you might have about getting into a career in tech or just getting more insights onto how to land a job that you really want, all from someone who's been through the process multiple times and has done so successfully. So without further ado, let's get started with Paul's interview. Welcome, Paul. We're so excited to have you here. I have a number of different questions to really dig into your story today. And so we'll see where the day takes us because, you know, depending on what happens, sometimes we switch the questions up. But by and large, I'm really excited to be talking with you today. So let's start with just a little bit of your story, because I know you've got a very interesting story. So share that with us.
Yeah. So my early ambition for my career, you know, really started out when I was in high school, you know, and I wanted to do pre-med at that time, you know, like on a lot of, high schoolers, you know, and like you want to go to college, I mean, we want to get into, you know, medical school, you know, and because, you know, being a doctor, you know, it's a very lucrative career, you know, and very rewarding, right? And so, you know, I always had good grades throughout high school, and I was confident that this trend would continue in college. You know, I earned a full ride scholarship to the University of Kansas, and I decided to pursue chemical engineering as my undergrad, because with only 30% of med students, you know, making it to medical school, I felt it would be a safe bet. You know, and because obviously getting to medical school is really competitive, right? And so, I always felt like, you know, it would always be a great way as a fallback, you know, in case it didn't work out, right? So I always had a strong work ethic in high school, I've already mentioned, you know, and I carried that out in college. However, despite my efforts, I deeply struggled in college. You know, the classes, work, and exams were much different than what was in high school. I also started to lose interest in medical school and started to focus on chemical engineering, like midway in the process, you know, like in my, you know, sophomore and junior year. You know, I ended up graduating in 2013 with a pretty average GPA, you know, for a chemical engineer, and I was able to land a job in the oil and gas industry, as a hydraulic fracturing engineer, also known as fracking, you know, which, I mean, I'm sure everyone in the oil and gas industry knows what that is. And, it was for a major oil service company. Now the oil and gas industry was really booming during that time, you know, like 2013, a time period. And I was really optimistic about this career move. This was the first time as well that I ended up, you know, taking a different path, to where I wanted to go. Right. So, I mean, I was doing pre-med, and then all of a sudden, you know, like I ended up, pursuing chemical engineering and, you know, thinking that I would get into the oil and gas industry, that would be my career. And so In the summer of 2013, when I started this, you know, I was excited about graduating and starting my career, but a lot of those expectations started to disintegrate as soon as I started working in the oil and gas industry. I did not know what I was expecting, right? I mean, my expectations were not at all what was occurring, right? I was working 12-hour shifts outdoors in cold, remote areas, you know, in North Dakota, Colorado, and Oklahoma. And that didn't even include a commute, right? So sometimes, like, I would be based, the oil rig would be, like, 2 hours or even, like, an hour and a half away from where I was staying at, you know? And so taking all that into account, I mean, you were pretty much working about 15 hours roughly dedicated just to work. And I also found a work environment, you know, hostile and very unprofessional, you know? I had difficulty, you know, like, really, you know, syncing up with the people that were working there, you know, and it was also very difficult. And I also wasn't performing well, despite my strong efforts, you know, and I started to lose motivation. After about 7 months, you know, I started to look for another job. You know, and it was at that time that I started to seek God for the next career move, you know, a lot of my decisions, up to that point, I was making that on my own intuition, right? And I decided to go back to school and get my master's degree in mechanical engineering. I decided to get into mechanical engineering for master's at KU, you know, where I did my undergrad in, right, for chemical engineering. And this time I was a lot more motivated because it was a field of higher interest, you know? So, like, I just said, no, chemical engineering, the problem was that I just did it because I wanted to get a pre-med. But I mean, was I really interested in it? Did I really have motivation? No, I didn't. That's why, you know, it reflected in my grades and, you know, like, and just my interest in general, right? But in mechanical engineering, you know, I've always been interested in cars. And so I wanted to, you know, get into the automotive and engineering spectrum. So I took courses such as, you know, internal combustion engines, and also the part of Formula SAE team, which is, you know, like a team which is a university college motorsports program, which, you know, universities across the country, you know, like, and even internationally, like, you know, colleges in Germany and such, you know, they'll develop cars, I mean, you know, like, race cars, just like in Formula One, you know, the team designed it, and then, you know, like, we end up, yeah, and then we end up, you know, like, going to a competition, right? And so I was really, you know, like, again, that same work ethic, you know, like putting a lot of efforts into, you know, into doing this. And it was within my first semester, you know, that I had a lot of attrition in these courses. And the courses I was taking were prerequisites to my master's degree. However, my grades and expectations were not as I had hoped for, you know, and after one semester back, you know, like in the course I was taking, I decided to change course, you know, and because again, like my grades weren't up to par, you know, and I wasn't, you know, like, I was having a lot of challenges, you know, and I wouldn't consider giving up. I was just, I mean, because I'm working really hard, you know, and I really keep doing effort and, you know, realizing also the long-term goal of doing this, you know, like, because I would have to, like, add another semester, you know, would just be worth it at the end of the road. And so I took a gamble, you know, and again, I sought God in this, you know, and in January of 2015, right, I was really going through a season of doubt about my decisions and whether I'm a failure, right? I was debating whether, you know, to continue pursuing mechanical engineering, as I already mentioned, or, you know, trying to do computer science, because I always liked technology and I was really interested in the field, but I didn't feel the path would be easy to transition to. Intuitively, I prayed about it and decided to go into computer science, but that would require about 1 to 2 semesters of prerequisites for programming and such to get into master's. I enrolled in classes in spring semester of 2015, I'd already mentioned, at KU, and I recall I took like programming one, you know, and data structures and some of these courses, you know, to kind of give me the foundation of it. But during this time, you know, it was really difficult for me mentally, you know, because I was taking these prerequisite courses, and this with a bunch of, freshmen, right? Like first year, college students. And it was a really humbling experience. Like I already, got a degree, and I came to get my master's, but then I'm taking like classes with, like freshmen, and I, and what was even more discouraging, throughout this process was that, I didn't get any internship that summer, summer of, 2015. Despite, like applying to several of them, and having, pretty strong, credentials on my resume. So I took some classes online during that summer, to fulfill what I should do during that semester. And then I came back in fall of 2015, and I started taking more difficult courses, that were going to be relevant for my master's, and that semester, educational wise went really well. I started to get very familiarized with common basics, such as programming, data structures, algorithms. And that was really, important for me, not just, from an academic standpoint, but later on professionally, right? It really gave me those foundations. I also applied to several internships, and as I mentioned previously, summer 2015, I didn't get an internship, but this time, I got a lot of interviews, I made even the later stages, but I didn't get an offer, looking back at it, and this is going to be part of my story, that was all part of God's plan. These are really cool companies that I applied to, right? But they just were not, they were not, coming through. And so in, the spring 2016 semester, I tried to apply for more internships, I took more classes. And at that point, I was planning on being in KU for about another year, to finish master's and et cetera, right? Fortunately, and I ended up getting three internship offers, and I ended up going with one that was a pharmacy benefits management company in Kansas City. That's the one I decided to go to. And to be honest, I primarily chose that because it was a more established brand. It was a pretty well-known company in the Kansas City area, and the salary was also pretty high as well, higher than the other ones, right? So that's the main reason why I went with that. But I ended spring 2016 semester, well, I was anticipating to come back again for fall 2016 to finish, like my two semesters. And I was getting more acclimated to the software in industry at that time. So I had a lot of confidence. But what I wasn't aware of is that, and just again, all part of God's plan is that I wouldn't end up going back to KU. That would be it. It was just kind of foreshadowing what happened at the internship. So, the summer of 2016, as I said, I was, doing very well with the internship. I really enjoyed the work I was doing, and I worked on a project, which was an internal tool that, ended up being very valuable and beneficial to the company. Right. That was, classic, software engineering front end, back end. I did development on my own, a little bit of assistance with members of the team, as expected, being an intern. It turned out well. My manager and the director was very impressed that in the end of the internship presentations, I had a meeting with them afterwards, and just kind of changed the whole trajectory of my plan. They ended up giving me a full-time job, and tuition to finish my master's degree at UMKC, which is University of Missouri Kansas City, which is down the street from where that company is, right? That pharmacy benefits management company. And they also gave me flexible hours, so that I could end up, finish my master's degree while, working full time. That was definitely, God's work, I was planning on going back to KU, but instead, that was totally opposite of what I was expecting. And so, that was very essential. One of my favorite verses, about my whole career path is, Proverbs 69, a man chooses the path of the Lord directs his steps. I always had these plans, I want to do pre-med, I'm going to go to oil and gas industry, I'm going to, do mechanical engineering, I'm going to do computer science, we always plan things, and be diligent in them, but, God will direct our steps, so that's been a huge, testimony to me during this time, and then from, so getting back to my whole story is that from August 2016 to December 2018, I was, working full time at this company, as well as spending the evenings, doing my master's degree, right? And so I was really busy, like I was I was packed, schedule wise, but I was, but it was really helping me in my career, right? And I didn't mention this, but like my master's degree, as I said, was in computer science with a specific emphasis in data science, which has really helped me in my career, right? And then my role within the company, after getting the internship, was a back-end software engineer, and I was doing primarily an entry level, I mean, role. So like my duties were within those expectations. However, it was very invaluable what I learned. I mean, it helped me, as I said, throughout the rest of my career. I learned a lot during that time, and those were three vital years for my career development. In the so yeah, so like towards the end of that time, again, December 2018 is when I graduated with a master's. And so in the back of my mind, this was always the expectation, was that I was gonna, explore, what's next, career wise, right? Because I already got a master's, I was doing good in my job. But is there another role in different companies that I could seek out? And I was considering moving to companies and seeking another job, right? And to be honest, that's a very common practice in the tech industry, and I recommend that to everyone, is that, after, working, a few years in a company, is to really consider, like, I mean, where, and to evaluate, where are you at and where are you going, right? So that doesn't mean, like, go look for a job after 3 years. I'm not saying that. If you're doing really well, if you feel like there's a lot of upside, there's a lot of potential, you can get promoted, you embrace the culture, and this is a very important thing that I always tell people, is you always have to go work in a company that's chasing Silicon Valley. In other words, you got to work in a company that is, on top of it technology wise. A lot of companies are not like that, right? And that was one of the reasons why I sought another job. I like in the Kansas City area, most of the companies that were hiring at the time were using a little bit outdated technology. Like a lot of them were not integrated onto, cloud platforms. They're still using, like outdated mainframes. Some companies that were still using COBOL, which is, an archaic, language. I don't even know where to get started on that. So I needed to find a market where, there were more cutting edge companies. And so, initially I was thinking about, moving to Austin, because that's like where the tech industry is. And, like all the big companies, like all the, FAANG, or otherwise now known as MENG, since Meta, I mean, Facebook now changed its name to Meta, but a lot of those MENG companies, have offices in the Austin area. There's the Dell headquarters. I mean, there's a lot of, big startups, good companies there, right? And so I applied to some of those jobs, and I was wanting to go there. And it's still the case there. I was actually in Austin about 2 weeks ago with some friends, and yeah, the tech industry is booming there right now. But I didn't expect, what God's plan was for me next. And so I applied to come I said several companies, and some of them were in Dallas, right? And there was one company I applied to, which was a very popular Fortune, 50 insurance company, and they were looking for like a big data engineer role. And I just finished my master's degree, as I said, and so I applied to it, just seeing where it would take me. And the interview process, took about like almost like a month and a half. And I ended up, getting the role. That meant that I had to move to Dallas, which I was willing to do, right? I mean, and it was, again, it was never on my radar, but I ended up, going ahead and moving to Dallas during that time, which was September 2018, right? And, like the biggest thing, is that when I first started that role, and again, it was a big transition for me personally. I moved to a new city. I've lived in Kansas City for about like 18 years of my life. And then now I'm coming to, a new city. I mean, I bought a town home here. I got, I became very active in my church, which I'm still a member of, and I'm still, like very active and committed, there. And it's been a blessing in my life. But, a lot of things personally changed, but, coming in at the very end of a year, it was kind of, a bit of a transition work-wise. Like I came in the midst of a project that the team was working on, so it was kind of hard to have me integrated onto it. So I wasn't doing a lot at first, but I did take advantage of that time. I was, like really working with other team members, even though I wasn't assigned like any hard work. I mean, or any like specific work. I was really like learning the ropes of things. And then I, at towards the beginning of the next year, right? So that was 2020. I was assigned a project, and that was my time where I was like, hey, this is my time to, showcase my skills. And so I worked diligently on that, in the beginning of 2020. And I mean, as you know, what happened in March of 2020, the whole world shut down, right? So like we were told, to go, I mean, to work remotely, no expectation on when we're gonna come back. And I just moved to Dallas, and I didn't have, a lot of close friends at that time, and so by default, I was like, I'm just gonna go back to Kansas City, and stay with my parents there, for however long this is gonna be. I'm not gonna stay here in my town home in Dallas, where you can't even go to like any, as you know, you cannot go anywhere without, like not interacting with people pretty much. And so, so with that being said, I ended up, going back to Kansas City, and all I had there was, because I did not know how long I'll be there, as I mentioned, but I had like my work laptop, my personal laptop, and like just, basic necessities, right? Clothes and stuff. But that like 6 months, from, March 2020 to, like about July or August of 2020, I believe. Yeah, it was like end of July when I was at my parents. That was like a big area of growth for me. Like I was, like personally, professionally, and spiritually, I grew significantly. So like professionally, like I was doing very well in my job. I learned a lot. I was really, active in my project and the work I was doing. Personally, I was doing pretty well as well. Like I was, and even though we weren't interacting with people, I was taking better care of myself. Trying to, be healthier in my lifestyle. It was hard during that time, but, and then, also, spiritually, which is probably the most important, was that, what I didn't have a lot of entertainment with me, because I didn't bring a lot of myself. I was all back in Dallas, and, I just had my Bible and, my personal laptop. And so it was a great opportunity for me to just, spend time in the Word, really, educate myself, more, about about my relationship with God, really evaluating that, right? And that was a huge turning point for me, personally, with those 6 months. Those were very invaluable 6 months. And with that being said, after about that time period, where things were going pretty well, it was, as I said, like in, like mid to late July, stuff in Dallas was starting to open back up versus, Kansas City. So I thought I'll come back to Dallas, kind of just, get back to, living over there, right? I mean, living over here, and, just getting back to rhythm. And so, I moved back to Dallas, and, I mean, sorry. Yeah, I came back to Dallas, and then, like stuff was going pretty well for me. I got connected back to the church I'm going to, and, I mean, their young adults ministry, in, their community system and everything, right? And I was starting to build quality relationships, very good friends, and God was doing some amazing things in my life during that time, and it was, and then towards the end of 2020, December of that, I mean, a lot of things were going well for me. Like I was, like I found out I was going to get a promotion in early 2021, about a, to be a tech lead, right? So I would be the lead of my team's, like architectural design, solutions design, all of that, and I'll be, helping the team in terms of, getting work done. And it was a lead role, and I never thought that I would get that position that early in my career. Most people in tech industry would have to wait about a decade at least to get that role, and so it was really a blessing, and it was, so I ended up getting that promotion in early 2021. And I mean, I started to, again, my faith was, I was still, growing and being challenged in my faith daily. And that was really a time when I really turned to God completely, right? Surrendering everything to Him, right? And something that we should still do, right? As Christians, but it's a daily, It's a daily application. So, but again, with all that being said, right? Everything was going well for, I said, for pretty much 2021 professionally. It was, I was killing it at my job. I mean, I was, developing good relationships there. But in terms of my professional testimony, towards the end of 2021, I did feel like there was a little bit of a plateau, career-wise at the company I was at the major insurance company that I mentioned. And so, the economy was booming then, particularly the tech industry, and so many companies in the Dallas area were hiring, and there was a very big bank, a very popular bank, a financial firm that was actively hiring during that time. And I had several interviews with them. And towards the end of 2021, which is pretty much about a year from now, a little over a year from now, I ended up getting an offer to work for them. And so I was really excited about that. So and it was and I was expected to have a lead role, with certain certain expectations in the job. I've also have a certain compensation, et cetera, right? So I was really excited, and then ended up, I mean, taking that job offer, but and I thought it was the next step that God had for me, and I thought it'd be smooth and everything would go well. So again, ended 2021 well, but then 2022 started, right? And I started the new job. However, in the first like few months, a lot of my expectations or that I had for this role and what I was promised, I realized were not coming to fruition. I the role that they promised me was actually pretty was kind of diminished. It was not exactly what they told what was I interviewed for. Like also like what like the culture of that team was very, people kind of did stuff to the, I mean, it was kind of like, they mentioned in the work industry, like working in silos, right? It was very like silos. Sometimes it was also kind of a competitive atmosphere as well. It was kind of like, like everyone's kind of on their own. You have to figure stuff out on your own. And I also, and I don't sound like, like egotistical here, but like I felt like I was like, I mean, I felt I was like Steph Curry playing in the G League, with some of these teams, I mean, with some of these like team members, like I was, like I felt like I was way, I like it kind of blew my mind how like so many people didn't even know basics of programming, and so like I was, so like I so after like a lot of false promises and just like a toxic culture, and there was a lot of other things too I'm not gonna get into on this call, but that occurred, I realized, okay, I lost a lot of motivation, and and that was that's something that kind of yeah, like hurt me, professionally. I even started to think about old times of like, why did I leave a company that I was doing really well in, that insurance company, to come here to be, like, I mean treated like, very unprofessionally, like not really reaching my plateau, and even the tech stack was not as cutting edge as I originally thought it was from the interview, and so, I so this is a hurdle, and I started to even ask God, I mean, why did you bring me through this, and so I, from like end of May to like the summer of this year of 2022, I went through probably one of the biggest challenges I had, professionally, which I look back at it, and I'll get to here. It really helped grow my faith. And what occurred was, I ended up interviewing for all these jobs, and I was, I was on LinkedIn, I was applying to different roles, I was, practicing, I'll explain this more in the hiring process, but like I was doing all of this, like I was preparing for these roles, but I trying to get them, but I'm making like final round interviews, and even though after the interview I think I'd do well, but I still was not landing a job, and it eventually, and I was discouraged. I remember there was one interview, where I was, it was a fintech company, that was, like it was kind of a beneficiary company that would help the environment. And I thought I nailed the final interview. I thought it was a great job. I was pretty excited about it. And then the next day, I got that those that notorious, you know, we value your skills, you know, thank you for your interest, but we're moving on to another candidate emails, right? And you know, so I that was one of the many, you know, examples I had during that time, you know, and I was, but during this, you know, like I was asking myself, what is it? What's the problem here? I mean, like, and every time I was, you know, I was yielding to God. That was a big thing that I relied on God the whole time. You know, I was, yeah, even though there was a lot of disappointment, there was a lot of challenges, I was relying on God. And, you know, say that like James 1:1-3, right? That consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, right? And that, and these were trials I was going through, but, you know, it was all, you know, helping me in terms of persevering my faith and, you know, growing closer to Christ during that time. And I learned a lot of things during this time period, right? I learned, you know, to be content. You know, look, I had a job, right? Currently, I mean, even though it was a toxic environment, I had a job, so I was content with that. Secondly, you know, I also learned to trust in God, not lean on my own understanding, right? I mean, a lot of these jobs were jobs where I'm like, it would be awesome to work here, but, you know, God knows what's better for you, right? And then the third biggest thing that I learned was, you know, like, is, you know, don't look at, you know, rejections as, it may not be you, it's just, you know, God closing the door on you at that time, right? And so all of these things occurred, right? And also learned too, another thing, the fourth thing was also being patient, right? You know, like, yeah, all these rejections, everything happened, you know, I mean, you can feel discouraged, but just be patient. You know, God has, I mean, it will all happen out in God's timing, you know? And after, you know, being at peace with that, you know, no matter what the outcome was, it was towards the end of August that I interviewed for a company. It was not, it was a company that I was not really on my radar, you know, it's not a well-known company at all. And a recruiter reached out to me about it and said, hey, we want to give you an interview. I remember postponing the first one actually with the manager, and because I couldn't make it. But then the interview process probably took about a couple of weeks, right? And I remember I had the final interview, which was a tech interview, and I wasn't sure how well I did. But I was like, hey, you know, I've seen a lot of rejections, you know, so far. I mean, even if I do think I did well, you know, you never know what the outcome is. And so, I mean, another day they went by, and I had another interview which I did not do well. And so, I mean, my mind was kind of a little like, that interview was from a different company. It was on a Friday, like I think on August, like end of August. And I was like, I don't know what happened, but you know, whatever happens is God's will. And the next day, it was on a Thursday, so it was on a Friday. That day, I got a call from a recruiter and said, you know what? It said like, yeah, that interview that you went really well. They're considering giving you an offer. And so I was pretty ecstatic about that. But at the same time, I also wasn't, you know, like there were other companies I was also looking at too, which I had my eye on. So this company was never on my radar, but you know, the other ones were. And so I was ecstatic. But at the same time, I was like, I mean, what are my feelings right now about it? A few days later, the next week, I ended up getting an offer, and I just felt at peace about that. And I was like, you know, this is, and it was everything I wanted at the big bank that I worked at, you know, where that I was currently working at. It was everything I wanted. It was a lead role. And they gave me proper expectations. It was a great tech stack. It was great compensation, you know, and, you know, like, and great benefits. And it was everything I wanted in that other company I got here. And I just really, you know, praise God for that. You know, I thanked him because I knew this was the job, you know. And so at the beginning of September, sorry, mid, end of September is when I started that new role. And I've been here ever since, right? And so it's been I'm coming across about like a little over 2 months. And, you know, it's been this has been probably the best experience I've had so far. I know it's been 2 months too early to judge, but, you know, I'm loving, you know, the people I work with. This is the smallest company I've worked with, by the way. Okay, so like I've always worked for big corporations with, you know, 10,000 employees at the very least, and it's like sometimes you're like a small fish in a big pond, but like in this company you're you have access to, like, you know, even the CEO if you wanted, you know, and it's it's really the people I'm working with, the teammates I had, you know, like it, are they're some of the smartest people. They're very humble. You know, they're I'm learning just as much from them as, you know, I'm investing in them. I'm a lead as well. So I mean, I being a leader, you know, if you're a Christian, you know, being a leader in a company, I mean, that's a huge responsibility you take. You know, as you know, you should, you know, like I believe in servant leadership, right? Not what Jesus did, right? Known to like see what's best for the people that you're working with, you know. And so it's a great opportunity for me. I mean, my manager has been great, you know, and I'm learning a lot every day. You know, I'm ecstatic to go back into my job. That was not the case in that big financial firm that I worked at previously, you know. And so every day I thank God for this opportunity, you know, and that's just really been a part of my professional story. And you know, like Colossians 3:23, you know, it's been a big thing for me. You know, it's like whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working to the Lord and not to men, right? And we should always be reminded of that. And in all our work, you know, we should be reminded that we should be working for the Lord, right? And you know, that's where our primary, you know, boss is, right? You know, and even when no one's looking, you know, and so that's been a big thing for me. That's what drives me every day. And you know, as you can see, you know, like about my career path, you know, it was never really linear. You know, it was, you know, a lot of challenges in a way. A lot of what I originally wanted at the beginning did not come to fruition. A lot of, you know, changes along the path. And you know, that's just how the Christian life is, right? I mean, like for example, when the Israelites, you know, went to the Promised Land, from Egypt to the Promised Land, it was not a straightforward. It was not linear. There was a lot of, you know, they went through a lot of challenges to get there, right? There were a lot of peaks and troughs. So, I mean, that's kind of been my story in general.
Gosh, there's so many, like you said, it's not linear, and there's so many twists and turns in there. And to hear, and I catch those moments, you know, you had that, you know, the season of doubt, that first time where you went on a ton of interviews, didn't get anything. And then I remember you, I even wrote it down, you had a second time where you had all these interviews, you were making it to the final round, but not quite all the way through. So it's like this more doubt on like, is it me? Like, what's going on? What's the problem? And then again, you went through it more recently. And so I'm just curious, in light of these three events, or in light of any other challenges, you talked about it a little bit, like the perseverance, the patience, the contentment. But how do you see, you know, the role of your faith in these moments? Like, how do you overcome these both faith-wise, spiritually, but also practically?
Yes. I mean, the first thing that comes to your mind, right, is discouragement, right? When these happen. And I believe, you know, that's inevitable, right? I mean, like, you know, we all go through periods of fear, you know, uncertainty, right? But, you know, at the same time, even though that's, I mean, having that human nature, I mean, you know, it says in 1 Timothy 1:7, right, that, like, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind, right? And so when you yield that to Christ, you know, have that mindset of peace, then, you know, that makes a world of difference, right? And it was not easy for me at first, right? I would tend to get anxious, you know, thinking I'm a failure, which I've mentioned a couple of times, you know. But at the same time, I when I started to, you know, as I said, be at peace about whatever the outcome may be, that's when I started to yield that to Christ, you know. And I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of viewers who are looking for jobs. I mean, that would be something they're going to, right? It's, you know, having interviews, you know, or, you know, getting rejection. One of my friends right now, he's been unemployed, and he's looking for a job, and he's getting rejection after rejection. You know, he's making it far into the round, but I'm consistently being encouraged by him, because, you know, he's not letting this get the best of him, right? And so I believe, you know, having that spirit of sound mind is important, you know, when going through this like period like this. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. And you know, that balance of like speaking scripture over yourself, like you said, and for those of you who are listening, like, My friends, listen to how easily he brings up scripture. He doesn't have it typed up. He doesn't have it on a post-it note. Like, it is memorized. And that's what helps us to overcome these difficult moments. Because in that difficult moment, the last thing you want to do is go and read your Bible and find a scripture. But if it's already in your heart, you already memorized it, like it's in there, and it's an automatic response. Just like when Jesus was tempted by the enemy, he immediately had a response, a go-to response. And that's what Paul has. If you listen to the episode, he's got these responses with scripture all throughout the story, which are really cool. Encouraged by this week's episode. In order to continue the work, I need your help. A free, fast, and really easy way to support me and the Uncommon Career Podcast is to rate and review. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can even do it now while you're listening. You ready? Okay, grab your phone and head to the Uncommon Career Podcast show page. You're going to scroll down, and below the list of episodes, you just tap the 5-star rating. If you have just one more minute, then please also tap write a review and let me and others know which episode or topic impacted you the most. It means the world to me to hear from you, and it also helps others to see that this work is making an impact. Rate and review today and help us move the message forward. Okay, so I know that like your friend, there are other folks, yes, in tech, but in really all fields, right, that are going through this process, that they're coming up against moments like the ones that you experienced, where you get, you know, application after application after application to known and unknown or unpopular companies, and you still don't get the interview. Or maybe you get the interview, you get really excited, and then nothing happens, or you get that dreaded email, right? So like, for those folks who are going through that process, kind of walk us through like what to expect as they move forward. Because sometimes what happens is we don't move forward in the process because we're not ready yet. But the big picture can really help you to present yourself better on the resume, on the interview, et cetera. So walk us through the hiring process so that folks can get a big picture view of what it's like to get hired specifically in tech.
Yes. So, yes, that's a really good question, particularly in tech, because, there's a lot of questions that you have to, consider and evaluate, you know, in tech, right? So the first thing you got to evaluate is, you know, where are you, you know, currently, in your career, right? So if you're an entry level, right? Which I was at one point, right? Really a lot, what you have to show is your, what you've done in school, right? Like in your bachelor's degree or even master's degree, right? And so that's where like personal projects, really help supplement your resume. Even for internships, right? I mean, even if you have a great GPA in tech industry, you know, like if you have like a personal project that, like if you created like an app, you know, when you put it on the Play Store, you know, or an app store for iOS, that is more attractive, you know, than like someone with a perfect 4.0, right? So so getting personal projects with someone who's very early in their career, entry level, is very important, right? And another example is like, you know, for me, like I've been in the industry for some time now, and you know, I'm applying for lead roles, for architectural roles, you know, et cetera, right? So for me, like what I'm looking at particularly is, you know, like is, you know, what I do in my projects at work, right? I mean, in my previous jobs. And so, what I recommend is, you know, and this is not just for tech industry, but all industries in general, is like on your resume or your LinkedIn, which I'll get to here in a second. It is important to like include business value in the work you've done, right? So like, for example, like if you, you know, worked on a project, that was pretty significant. I mean, just looking at the technology you used, may help, but what really sets you apart from other candidates is like showing what the business value is. So like you can say, okay, I worked on this project and from a business value standpoint, it saved about, you know, 500,000, you know, over per year annually, right? So like that's an example, you know, it put business value in your resume if you're a little more experienced, and, you know, also demonstrate, you know, leadership roles, you know, like, you know, I mentored, you know, a team. You know, I had certain certifications, you know, that's another big thing, right? Is, you know, trying to revamp your resume with, certifications, even or, different skills you took, like you took like an online class, which in the tech industry there are a lot of them. Like Udemy is, a great source I use, Pluralsight. They have a lot of, courses you can take. If you learn something in there, you can put it on your resume and then also say, here's a link, a GitHub link to the project. To know the tech industry, they know what GitHub is. I mean, it's pretty much like a online repository of, different projects and work you've done. So, actually, it's a lot more than that too. But that's a big thing if you're more advanced, right? There's also a third category, which is becoming a lot more popular now, which is the boot camp approach, right? And so the tech industry is getting really popular, as you know. Like, I mean, there's endless jobs. Even though companies are in like hiring freezes and such, I mean, there's still like an abundance of these roles. So with that being said, there is like the for people who want to get into tech industry, right? And they have a different they've already, been working a different job for a while, they can take the boot camp route. So these boot camps, as I said, have become a very popular thing now. A lot of universities have them. There's a lot of online programs as well. I'll be honest, I'm no expert on which ones you should take. But it is important. But like I did have coffee with a friend of mine, from my church, who he's been a teacher for a number of years, and he wants to get a tech industry, and he was asking me about it. Well, what boot camp should I take? Because I mean, obviously, a lot of these boot camps they're not very cheap. Like sometimes they cost about like, I mean, they cost as much as a about 2 semesters worth of college, right? And like $10,000 or even more. And so some people, what they'll do is they'll get a boot camp, and it will. And sometimes they're very specified, right? So there's boot camps in like data analytics, which includes data science. There's some specifically for full stack development. So I mean, that's like an approach you can take. If you already have a previous career, do a boot camp, and then within the boot camp, make sure that they have like projects, right? Just like if you're an entry level developer, or you're looking for entry level roles, your projects really will help you stand out. In the same way, do a boot camp in which you'll have projects or work that will be very marketable on a resume that an employer will be interested in. And at the same time, you take the boot camp approach. I mean, the realistic option is you have to consider, I most likely am going to aim for an entry level role or, maybe a low mid level role, right? I mean, you're going to probably be like a junior level developer or such, right? So, I mean, that's, which again, it you got to start somewhere, right? So, I mean, that's like the three different avenues. But in terms of the hiring process, to answer the question, is you have to, so I mean, back in 2016, resumes were used everywhere, right? You'd apply on their website. But what really helped me this go around in beginning of 20, sorry, like during the summer when I was, applying all those jobs and stuff, I didn't have to apply to any of them actually. It was just, I had a very robust LinkedIn, and recruiters will just reach out to you. That's the kind of how it's done nowadays, is that recruiters will just reach out to you, and if you have a LinkedIn with like certain keywords, and such. That's why I really recommend having a good quality LinkedIn, right, is important. Showcase your projects. Make a lot of connections. I mean, I don't know how the algorithm works with LinkedIn, but for some reason there are the ways to attract a lot of recruiters, right? So that's one thing is how you can really stand out is having a good LinkedIn. In terms of and then to add to next step, right? So if you're going for an entry level role, as I mentioned, right? During the interview process, it will they probably won't it won't be as challenging as like the interview that I had. But like now the big trend for tech industry is that they will have interviews for they'll have a coding interview or like a coder challenge, right? Then they'll have a system design interview. Those are the two primary measurements that they use in the interview process. And
You
so
said a
for
coder challenge, and what was the other one?
a system design.
System design.
System design. Yeah, and the system design is kind of like a newer practice. I know a lot of the FAANG companies use them. I started using them a few years ago. Now all the companies are now doing the system design. And then my advice is that the coder challenge, there's I recommend spending a few months if you want to look for another job, and spend like a few months, looking at the code. I mean, like, there's a lot of great online resources like LeetCode. I would recommend, this is a good investment, is to get the premium edition, right? I think it's like $150 a month. Because it gives you like alternative solutions, and like how you can solve these. So LeetCode is a good source. Another thing is AlgoMonster, which I use for my prep as well. And both of those together will really help you, practice these coding challenges, right? And I'll just be transparent. Like, I mean, they may not be the best evaluator to determine if a candidate's qualified for a job, but they are good to know. I mean, they because usually it's like you're measured on like a 45 minutes can figure out a coding problem, right? And sometimes, you're given projects where you have to like spend days thinking about it, which is normal, right? But I do think that, they are good to practice regardless. And so I would say, to all the viewers, like spend about a few months, like a couple hours, a night, or at least 5 nights a week, like kind of learning this information and such, right? The other thing I said is the system design, right? And I said, like, a lot of people get a misconception that the system design interviews are like, a right or wrong answer, but because what they'll do, they'll say something like, they'll design Twitter or like design like a parking lot application, and you have to like talk about the technologies you'll use, like different specifications, how you want to do the database design, like what schema. I'm not gonna get too much into the technical aspect, but like you pretty much have to like explain this. But it's not really like, are they looking for your technical expertise more often? They're more looking at like how the behavioral response. So it's kind of like a behavioral interview in a way. But they will ask you like a broad question like that, and they want to see like how you approach it, right? It's kind of similar to like a case study that like some other industries will do for their interviews, right?
Yeah, and how your thinking process, right? How do you split up the different components to then think about it in an organized way and all of that good stuff? That's
Yeah,
awesome.
and that's another big aspect of it too, that they'll ask like a question midway in the interview that will kind of like throw you off in a way, or that will kind of like a curveball. So I mean, how you respond to those situations is kind of is important. So yeah, so the system design's a big one. And so yeah, like when I was doing them, yeah, like again, you're competing with other people who are interviewing for a job. So like that's why I say like LeetCode, AlgoMonster are very important, because you'll be able to study all of this stuff very well. And so in these competitive roles, you spend a few months, practicing this. You should be able to nail you should be able to nail them, right? So that's a big aspect of it. And a lot of these jobs, I never had like a one round interview or 2 round interview. There's always been multiple rounds, like three, four. Yeah. In the more entry level roles, usually it's like only one or two, but like in the other ones, it'll be like three or four. Yeah.
And in your experience with going through three or four, because I think it's similar in a lot of different industries and education as you go up, you've got everything from an open forum with a group of students and administrators and teachers. I imagine that in the higher roles, I'm sure that in the higher roles, you've got, multiple people at different stages of the development phase for any one technology kind of interviewing you and seeing how your work will contribute to their work. So talk a little bit about like your experience with those, interviews beyond the first and second, because the first and second tend to be more like information grabbing, maybe like, do you really know the code you're talking about? Right. But then as you move on, it becomes sometimes, depending on the industry, more technical or at a deeper level. What do those like for you?
Yeah, so that's a good point. So okay, so there are two forms, right? So some like they will have like, yeah, the first 2 rounds are more like, are you interested in the role, kind of more like recruiter type of questions, right? But in the latter stages is when they really get more technical, and then they will even ask you like some behavioral questions too. So I interviewed actually at one of the fan companies, right? And their final interview was a virtual on-site where it was 5 interviews in 1 day, and it was like 3 coding, 1 system design, and 1 behavioral. And so it was and to be honest, like even the coding interviews, like you don't know if you did well on them at the end. Because even if you think you had the right answer, which that happened to me a lot of times, like there could be another candidate who had a stronger, yeah, like that had a stronger solution, or such. So It gets more technical towards the end.
Yeah.
And typically some of them at the very end will have like a, do, are you willing to do the type of work? Kind of like a more of a behavioral, like kind of like a screen in a way.
Gosh, there's so much to it. You a lot of times folks think, oh, you just apply, and if you're a good candidate, you'll get it. But there's so many different forms of communication throughout, both the qualitative communication, like, how do you communicate with people? How do you interact with them? What's your thinking style and all that? And then the qualitative of, can you actually solve the problem? It doesn't matter which way you solve it, but do you know what you're doing as you're solving the problem? So the interesting thing is that, HR companies, for good reason, they try to vet out those folks who are not minimally qualified. And a lot of times that happens through the job descriptions. But what I've found, and I know we've talked about this before, is that job descriptions will sometimes not reflect the knowledge base of that industry for the position they're going for. So, for example, they'll ask for a certain number of years experience with a certain technology that actually hasn't been around for that long. So in light of that, and then any other qualifications, discrepancies, like what has been your experience as far as, do you feel that in tech, every single qualification, every single required qualification needs to be met, in order to, actually get the positions that are being posted? Like, does someone have to meet all of the required qualifications in order to apply?
No, and that is something that is a misconception. It's like, and I'll be honest, sometimes like the job descriptions are a little bit unrealistic, right? I mean, it's like I'm like, there's no way that anyone would have all this experience, like, and sometimes, like there would be like they'll mention a technology and they'll say like, X amount of years required when the technology has only been around for, like less than that. So like, there was one, this is back when, just like maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, I was looking at job description, and there was a for machine learning, right? There's a framework used called TensorFlow, right? Which is good for AI and machine learning, that was developed by Google. And one job description said that like 7 years required or something like that. And if you look at like the history, it's only been around for like 4 years or something. So like, I mean, how they come up with either is kind of interesting. To me, it's like, they have these kind of like, I believe, to kind of like weed out, people who's really interested. And then when they look at your resume, they're like, hey, this would be an appropriate fit, right? But yeah, I mean, I would say like, that is kind of a commonality of it is, I'd answer that, don't be intimidated to see like a job description that is, that have like certain requirements that don't exist.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one of the things that I always try to help people remember is that the person who's writing the job description, sometimes they might be a manager who went up through the ranks. So they are in tech, they do know, right? But as you become a manager, you work less and less with the boots on the ground tech or boots on the ground skills, whatever industry that is. And so as a manager, you have more of like the people skills, the management, the leadership skills, right? And so when you're working with the HR professional or the recruiter to create the position, the two people in the room, neither one of them actually are going to do the boots on the ground work. And so that's how I always help people to kind of, maintain their confidence. Even if the job description says something, that actually might be a bluff, and don't be scared to call their bluff in a good way, not in like a, ah, oh, they're us against them, but more in the sense of like, you are an expert in what you have to bring, and you remain confident in what you have to bring, and let the chips fall where they may with that trust and perseverance, like you had mentioned. If it doesn't work out, it's not God's will, and that's okay. But I thought that was just such great. I think it's going to be a relief for a lot of folks to listen and be like, oh, that job description is not hard and fast. So going along with that process and the whole application process and the fact that recruiters came to you, have there been situations where you have sought out recruiters? What has that been like? Just kind of what has been your experience with recruiters on both ends, them coming to you, you seeking them out? And what are some tips that you might share for folks when working with recruiters?
So that's a good point. And so like, I would say I didn't do a lot of that, just last go around, because I said if LinkedIn, usually they'll come to you if you have a, I mean, if you meet certain requirements on the profiles, right? But I did that a lot in the past, and I still recommend anyone to do that too, because like the recruiters, like, I mean, a lot of people will skip the, if you apply online, I mean, you're not really getting your name out there. If you actually go on LinkedIn, like find a recruiter, which I did do this like even like 4 or 5 years ago, yeah, like that's one of the most efficient ways, and because then you can like market yourself to them, and then they'll be like, hey, this is a they'll market your job to, the hiring manager. And so, yeah, I mean, I do believe that again, I still advocate for that. Again, I did not do a lot this time around, but it is very effective. And I would do it again, if I was in need to. I actually did do it, I'll take it back. I actually did do it a couple of times this time around, because there was a recruiter, for a company that reached out to me like at the beginning of the year, but I was not interested in looking for a job at that time. And I went through some interview processes, and I really liked it, but I didn't get the offer. So I reached out to him again and said, when I wanted to look for a new job after, not seeing what I was expecting when I was, and I asked him, do you still have an opportunity available? And I mean, he said not at the moment, but again, like it's but no, it's still good either way. Like I do think that it is a great initiative. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And this is a tip that I want to make sure you don't miss, my friend. So one of the things that he just mentioned is that you want to get your LinkedIn beefed up ASAP. Are you looking for a job now? Maybe not, but do it anyways, because then recruiters are going to reach out to you, and it's not necessarily on your timeline. They might reach out to you a month from now or a year before you actually need a position. But just building that friendship and that relationship, just like with any other networking scenario, you build the bridge now, and you don't know when you'll need to cross over it. So build that LinkedIn, start making those connections. And when someone reaches out to you, that's a recruiter or a manager or whatnot, and they're looking for a position or someone to take over a position, and you don't necessarily need one at the moment, keep that contact, because you never know when something's going to work out for the better. Okay,
Yeah.
so I absolutely love how you're sharing all this great information for our folks, especially those in tech, but this applies to everybody. I mean, tech is one of the most difficult industries to get into. So regardless what industry you're in, these, golden nuggets that Paul's sharing, they apply to everybody. Okay, so I do want to sort of wrap up this hiring conversation with a piece that a lot of people like hearing about, and that is your salary, your benefits, the negotiations. Like, what was your experience? Did you negotiate at any part of it? How did you prepare for negotiations, or what do you wish you would have known? Like, what are some thoughts you want to share around that?
Yes. So that's a good point, right? Is like how is negotiating your salary and like compensation benefits. So the tech industry, just to, I mean, for our audience to know, the amount of, I mean, the salary has increased, significantly since I first started. There's a lot of money in this industry, and also particularly, not to get off subject, but like particularly in which realm you have to get into, right? So the tech industry, when people say tech industry, it's like it's a very broad statement. It's like saying like, the medical field, right? I mean, there's like you can be a nurse, you can be a doctor, pediatrician, a surgeon, et cetera, right? In the same way, there's specializations in there too, right? So certain realms are, within tech industry have higher benefits compared to, others, right? So like to be so like big data science have been a really hot field in the last like half a decade, right? So there's a lot of money in those industries, right? In companies for that. Cybersecurity is becoming really hot as well, so that's starting to become a big thing in the future. So whatever realm you're in, you can use that as leverage to get a higher salary, right? And in terms of like there are two sources that I use. One is levels.fyi. It's a website. Look at your company and see what the salaries are on there, and then use that as a way to your benefit. Another thing too, you can also mention, so I live in a certain area, like you may live in the Bay Area where it's higher cost of living. I know some people have negotiated that way as well, right? Some people have also, like negotiated, yeah, with as I said, comparing with other salaries on Glassdoor, or other websites. So that's an important thing. Also, like when you're given an offer letter, and this happened to me in my recent company, they asked me, is this a good enough salary? So whenever they present that to you, they're pretty much they're giving you room to negotiate, right? And so take advantage of that. Obviously, I mean, I say I'm all for people getting as much as they can, from salary benefits, etc. But like say like I want X amount of dollars versus plus a certain bonus versus like get a higher salary amount, so I'm sorry that I don't know if that made sense, but you can always use bonus to kind of a one like for the first year, ask for like 15% or 20% or whatever to supplement your current salary, as well. So yeah, I mean I did that for this last job, and one of my friends kind of helped me with to trying to present that, and so yeah, it was a success, so I'm always for that. But yeah, in terms of like compensation benefits, yeah, there's a lot of money in the tech industry depending on which realm you're in. As I say, no, I mean data science, as I said, there's a lot of money, but there's like that includes machine learning, as a big data, there's a lot of that right now. So those roles are paying very well compared to, like certain application roles, right? Like application developer, et cetera. And there's a lot of money in that stuff as well too. But so whichever realm you're in is important. And when people ask me about the tech industry, like I want to get into it, I also tell them the same thing too. I'm like, so what, I think the question you should, and so this is a common thing that people ask me in terms of like, what languages should I learn? That's asked by everyone, right? Because you think, well, you're a programmer, you're gonna have to learn a language, right? That's not the question that you should be asking. The question you should be asking is, what realm do you want to get into? Do you want to get into, as I said, data science, cybersecurity, application development, full stack? Which specific realm do you want? Because if you ask that question, then you'll know what you want, right? And from a leadership standpoint, from like a they say that one of the biggest reasons why people, fail is because they don't know what they want. I've been in that situation too. Like I told you, when I was trying to do pre-med, I didn't know what I want. I really didn't. I mean, I knew, okay, this is what the outcome would be, but I did not know what it meant to get there. So people need to know how to get there, but they also know what they want. Now, what do you want to get into? You want to get machine learning? Great. That's a better way than saying like, I want to learn a language, because if you know one of these languages, they can be used for a lot of different realms. Like even if you're like a cloud security architect, you might not even write one line of code, at all, so it really, so that's a really important thing. Is you gotta ask yourself what realm do you want to get into? And again, I started off doing, like backend software developer. Now, I mean, I did big data. Now I'm doing a combination of both, right? So it's like, if you know which one, you can easily get into other ones as well. And to also add to that, like one of the biggest questions to do is, I mean, one of the biggest things about the tech industry is that you have the ability to learn and develop on your own, right? So like a lot of industries can't do that. Like in certain like fields of engineering, right? You can't like you can't like develop your skills as like a
You don't have a lab at home.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But like here, everything is open source. You can just download like, an IDE, and program on your computer. That's what a lot of startups are found, even in the video game industry, like indie game development. Like it's just like a bunch of people who just like, do everything on their own computers. Right. So you always work on developing yourself, that's the beauty of this industry, that you can always, there's always, you can always like hone your skills when you're not working, and you always have to be up to date, on what's next, right? Like Jim Rohn, who's a he's a entrepreneur and speaker, who passed away some time ago, but he had a quote which is, if you work hard in your job, you'll make a living, but if you work hard on yourself, you'll make a fortune. And that applies so much to the tech industry, right? You have to invest in yourself, like don't rely on your job, to get you places. Other industries, that's the case, right? But not in the tech industry. Yeah.
Gosh, that's, I mean, you hit so many solid points. So I'm just gonna I guess highlight some of them because I don't want folks to miss them. one of the things you said was essentially to negotiate your salary, but there's other things to negotiate as well. So one of the things to think about is when you go to the negotiations table, of course you're looking at salary, and there's websites like salary.com, and there's other salary tools and research tools that you can use to triangulate your salary. And then also have that, you know, feedback from anybody within the company or within the industry that you know, to kind of get a range as to how much that position and how much your experience and your work is worth, not your identity is worth, your work, because your work does have value and that is separate from your value as a person. But how do you identify that price range for your work in this industry, for this role at this company, in this geographic location? Like, there's so many pieces to that salary question. And so yes, salary is one piece of it, but once you get your minimum, fair, and ideal ballpark for your salary, then the next question comes in, and you alluded to this, is this question of, yes, you can make the highest paycheck, but be miserable at your job. Yeah. And so, right, of course, you want to take a position where you know there's going to be a good, solid, positive culture. But at the negotiations table specifically, you want to look at the other negotiables that might help to supplement, whether it's your salary or just your day-to-day environment. It could be anything from, believe it or not, you can negotiate a closer parking spot. You can negotiate benefits. You can negotiate time off. You can negotiate vacation. There's so many pieces. And of course, every company is a little different. Some are going to be more flexible on some components than others, but just opening up that conversation is going to give you a lot more options to get a fair salary, but at the same time, have just an entire compensation package that you feel really happy about and where you feel fairly treated and appreciated.
And, you know, that brings up a point. As you know, like, recently with the economic state that we were in, you know, inflation going up, that was a big negotiable factor that a lot of people use. From what I read online, is a lot of people say, because it was, I mean, if I fill gas now, it's much different than, you know, like 6 months ago. I mean, a higher salary is going to, you know, have to compensate for that. So a lot, there's certain ways you can negotiate it. What you brought up about, like, other stuff, like, you know, parking lot, you know, like, you know, different things. Yeah, that was a big thing about the bonus, right? Is to, you know, you can always add a lot in the bonus because it's only a one-time payment, right? Your salary is, you know, long-term.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, too, is like a lot of these tech jobs are you work remotely, right? So there's some areas you cannot negotiate on, right? But there's always, but yeah, always take advantage of it, you know, to whatever you can negotiate, yeah.
Yeah. I think that was such a golden nugget you just dropped there. So the other highlight that you mentioned that is so important to showcase is the idea that the coding language that everyone believes is what you need to start with, it is what you need to start with. It's the foundation, but it's just like if you went to go for an engineering position and you said, okay, I'm going to start with math. Well, that's great. Chemical engineers take a lot of math. So do civil engineers. So do structural engineers. So do, you know what I mean? Like there's all these different disciplines. They all use the same foundation, but it's all going to go in different directions. And so beyond that question, it's just getting a big picture view. A lot of folks go into, and I'm just talking about tech, but this happens in all industries that you go into this with something that you saw on TV or something that you heard without seeing the big picture of what the industry is actually made up of. Like you said, with the medical profession, you've got the doctors and you've got all different levels of doctors. You've got the functional doctors, you've got the MDs, the medical doctors, right? And so then from there, you have your allied health, and then it goes to your, you know, more vocationally oriented. And so that big picture view helps people to make the right decision before they invest too far into cybersecurity or too far into user, you know, what is it, user experience or user design. So I thought that was a really, really good piece of information for everyone to know that if you're thinking of going into tech or any industry, get the big picture view of all the possible positions before you decide which route to go.
Yeah.
Oh, such good. Such good information. So we're going to start to sort of wrap up just a little bit. I could ask you questions literally forever. I've got a whole list of other questions, but I'm going to stick to what's going to be most important. And that is, what did you find most difficult or what caught you off guard that you think you would want to share with other folks in terms of, you know, make sure and prepare for this when you're going into the process?
Yeah. So I would say is, you know, that's a good point, right? It's like, how, if you're going to go to process, you know, I would say it's one, kind of a combination of some of the stuff I mentioned is, you know, like the online resources that I mentioned, right? Like Lead Code, Alpha Monster. You know, like there are other sources too, is, you know, really understand, you know, the different type of coding questions that they can ask, because the coder challenge, that's like pretty much every level you're in, whether it be entry level, even managers even get asked those as well, right? When I had an interview with a manager, when I was looking for jobs this summer, and he also said that he also had a practice these as well, right? So that would be a big thing. And again, give yourself time, like, you know, give yourself about like, I mean, if you practice like a few hours a night, like, you know, maybe give yourself about 4 months. I mean, cause like, it, think of it as if you're studying for the SATs, right? Or like, you know, the MCAT or LSAT, you know, like you have to, you know, I mean, you're pretty much, it's pretty much like an exam, right? And so that's one big thing, is to really give yourself time on doing that. And then the other thing I often mention is, you know, if you think you might have like a deficiency in a skill, and I'll say this, do this consistently, is like, if there's a new language that's up and coming, you know, like, you know, maybe purchase a course online. Usually they're pretty cheap. Like on Udemy, they usually will have sales and the courses are like $10, you know, and you know, it's like, and those are videos that will show you how to do it. And then you can use practical application, you know, you can like follow on, you can actually recreate it. And then that shows, okay, that you were able to have demonstrated that skill, right? And again, you have to practice this stuff, right? I mean, kids watch a video and then learn. I mean, being an engineer is a discipline. It is a skill set in itself, right? You know, if you're going to watch a video on how someone's doing something, not practicing yourself, it's like saying that you become a good basketball player by watching the NBA, right? I mean, it's like, yeah, you have to practice this, I mean, regularly. And so
I would be able to call myself a professional in tech if that were the case. I observe what y'all do. I help you to do it, but I'm not in there coding. Like, I don't know, right? And there's a big difference in that. There's this expertise that I have, but there's also an expertise that you have that I'm not even touching the surface of. So that's a huge point too. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, so like spend some time learning that, learning certain languages, you know, that are up and coming. So like, again, and you know, this third thing is, you know, don't get comfortable. You know, that's what I love about this industry, that you always have to be innovative. There's always, you know, area to grow. You know, like I said, the COBOL programmers, you know, back in Kansas City, like they never adopted to newer technologies. You know, there's a quote that I like to say, you know, you can't be, there's no pride in being the master of the machete when you have a lawnmower out there, right? I mean, it's like,
that's good.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, if you're very skilled at older technologies, and not, you know, on the new cutting edge thing, you're going to get outdated really fast. I mean, your skill sets are. So you got to always be on the cutting edge things. One language that I feel is going to be up and coming that I would recommend to the viewers who are interested is Go, or otherwise known as Golang. It was developed by Google, and I believe that in 5 to 10 years, a lot of people are going to regret not learning that now, because I can see a lot of companies moving to that language. It seems to me like it will be the next Python, right? So Python was, yeah, like about 15 years ago, like everyone's like, well, Python, no, that's not going to be big, but now every company's using it. And it's like, there's so many use cases for it, and it's very vital. So, I obviously get started on learning that too eventually, but also like, you know, certification, you know, so like, I think cloud is the future, right, of the tech industry. So, you know, like get your like AWS certificates, you know, there's like, there's for the developer, there's a practitioner. I would recommend, you know, if you're starting it, just get the practitioner certification, and then get the developer one as well, if you want to get to that. And then there's the solutions architect. So there's different ones you can get. So I recommend, yeah, definitely for the viewers to look into like getting one of those. Yeah.
Awesome. So we've got certificates and online courses, continuing with up and coming languages. And then you also mentioned, there was something else that you mentioned earlier.
Well, the coding. We
Oh,
started coding colleges.
yes, the coding. Yeah, so lots. I mean, that was a really dense response with a lot of tips in there. So if you need to listen to that again, rewind, listen to that again, jot those notes down. But now, Paul, I don't want to keep you too much. I know we have really taken up a lot of your time and it's been amazing. But I'm going to ask you, as a believer in Christ, as a strong and mature believer in Christ, if you had 1 minute, what's the guidance or the encouragement, the one piece of memorable, information that our friends can walk away with? What would you tell other Christian professionals, in or outside of tech?
Yeah, is whatever, again, it goes back to Colossians 3:23, right? It's that whatever industry you're in, do your work as if you're doing it to the Lord and not to men, right? I mean, I believe that God created us to do work, even the Garden of Eden, that was a very important, that's a very important function, in our daily lives. And so God created us to work. And so in whatever industry you're in, remember that, God is, who you're serving. There are going to be trials in your job, and there's going to be, unexpected circumstances. There could be even, there are also going to be, high points as well, right? I mean, you're going to have, times of, success and such. But, remember that you're always going to be accountable to God, right? Not just, whoever the CEO in your company or et cetera, but in all your work, even if you're in a toxic environment, remember that, which I've been in those, as I mentioned, a few times, you do your work as if you're doing it to God and not to men. Like, again, going back to the Israelites, when they were, in slavery in Egypt, I mean, that was something that really applied to them, right? Like, are they serving God, or, are they serving Pharaoh, right? So that's a big thing to really look at. Yeah.
Oh, excellent example. I love that example. There's this scripture. And so here we go. I couldn't find the exact scripture when we were filming, so now I'm coming in to add this in for you. The scripture is Isaiah. It's in chapter 30, verses 1 through 5, but it actually continues on well after that. So it says, "Woe to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt for shade and refuge." And later it says in verse 7, "Egypt, whose help is utterly useless." It continues on, and I'm skipping verses here, but it also says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation, and in quietness and trust is your strength." Later it says, "But you would have none of it. You said, 'No, we will flee on horses.' Therefore you will flee. A thousand will flee at the threat of one. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed all who wait for him." So in this scripture, he's kind of saying, what Paul's talking about, in that your trust, when you put your trust in God, like, that's really where your provision comes from. Otherwise, if you're not trusting God, going your own way, you're kind of saying, "Thank you, God. I'm glad that you're my savior, but you're not my Lord. I'm going to actually trust in, the Pharaoh," which in this case really represents the world. So hopefully that was helpful for y'all. It was really a great, just a great point that Paul made. All right, so here we go back to the conversation. And so now go ahead. Basically, God's like, now you trusted Pharaoh and you thought that he had power, but he has no power except for what I give him. And then he talks about how, like, okay, go get your protection from Pharaoh. You're going to watch how easily I wash him away. Like, I've got to find that scripture. I'll send it to you too. But exactly what you're saying, I mean, it's so powerful. It's so powerful. Sweet. Well, Paul, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Thank you for sharing such valuable information for our career seekers. And just thank you for sharing your faith with us. It's really something special to see other professionals come together in faith. So we really appreciate you.
Yeah, definitely, Patricia. It was definitely it was a blast. Yeah, I'm all to the viewers. I mean, I'm really hoping, that this will be a blessing in your guys' lives, and there's something valuable here that could be useful, in your careers.
Oh, I know that it was useful for so many people listening. So thank you for coming and being on the show. And thank you for everyone listening. It's been a blast here for the last several minutes to chat with you. Know that we love you. We're praying for you. And we'll see you on the next one. Thanks for listening. You came to the right place if you're seeking career direction, are ready to launch your career, if you're looking to change positions, or you want to secure the best offer for your next role. And I've created some resources just for you to help you along the way. First, hear his voice with the 5 steps to God's will for your career. Second, organize your career search. I've got a career transition checklist with 7 career phases and over 30 bite-sized strategies for you to check off along the way. Or grab the Bible-based mindset fix. It's a collection of scripture to help you apply truth to negative thoughts so that you can get unstuck and go after your position. Finally, if you have a question that hasn't been answered, then send it in. Email me your question and not only will I answer it, but I'll also give you a shout out on the episode as well. Again, thanks for listening and I'll see you on the next one.